Well, I don't know about you, but I've been in low gear all week. I could barely turn the oven on to 325. So I decided to think of it as one big slow roaster. Well, it turns out a lot of people are thinking the same way right now. I mean, you say easy one-pot meal and visions of crockpots and starting tonight's dinner while you're eating your granola at 7 a.m. this morning come to mind. Well, to clue us in with some fresh new ideas, we turn to PBS chef Ming Tsai. He's the champ of East West Cooking, and he joins us with his book, Simply Ming, One Pot Meals. Ming, welcome.
Thank you, Lynn. Great to be here.
You know, I have to smile to myself because, of course, your go-to one pot is the wok. Mine is a 12-inch sauté pan, but the thing that I realized reading this book is people don't realize what they can do with a wok.
Right. You can do a lot.
Give us some thoughts.
Well, obviously you stir fry, and the concept of the wok being concave, right, nice and curved, is you don't need as much oil to cover the surface. And then when you move your food around, it always ends up touching oil, so you don't need to add as much. So that's one reason why wok cooking is so good and healthier. But if you fill it with water, and I always, one of my tips is actually add a pinch of tea leaves to flavor the water, because sometimes water has an off flavor, then it's a steamer. Take one of those bamboo steamers and put it on top. It's a wonderful pot to use to steam, as well because of the great surface area, because it's obviously much bigger towards the top. When you boil pasta, you can use a wok. You know, the Italian ratio and the Chinese as well, you want at least five times water to the amount of pasta you're boiling. You can absolutely achieve that with a wok. The last thing my parents used to do it all the time, it's a wonderful pot for frying. You don't need, again, as much oil because it's so concave towards the bottom. You can fill, you know, just a few inches of oil and fry spring rolls or wontons.
Yeah. What are some of the one-dish meals that you do in it?
Well, there's some classic stir fries. There's a pork kimchi with noodle stir fry. There's a green peppercorn beef with asparagus, and that actually uses rotini pasta, which is not a Chinese noodle. That's an Italian one. I love my take on a gungbao chicken with rice. So that's the peanuts with chicken that has carrots and celery and onions. So those are some classic stir fries. But then we use the wok to do what I call flashing. I steam fish. And then an old Chinese technique is you flash whole fish with oil to add lusciousness and nice kind of silkiness to the fish.
Why don't you explain what flashing actually is?
Well, flashing traditionally, and Nobu Matsuhisa, who's a great friend, he's completely popularized it with a Japanese technique he calls new style sashimi. So he takes raw fish and flashes it with a hot olive oil. So it kind of partially cooks the fish. I call it sashimi 101. But in Chinese cuisine, which would predate this technique, we would always steam a whole fish, traditionally with a little soy, ginger, and scallion. At the end, right before serving, you'd flash it with hot peanut oil. And again, it would add a lusciousness and richness to the dish. And it actually almost forms its own sauce as it goes through the fish onto the platter. It's just a wonderful way of eating fish. And the fish flavor really shines through, which is the key.
So you would take the fish out, you would empty out the hot water, and then you'd dry the wok. And then you'd quickly heat oil in it. And that a little bit of that would be spooned over the fish? That's
exactly
the flashing.
You basically heat the oil till it's just starting to smoke.
Ah.
And then you take a tablespoon, you know, stainless steel spoon, and then you just literally flash it on, and you'll hear a little sizzle because it's cooking it a little bit more. And exactly, it's just, it adds that richness that I find luscious. And again, you're adding so little fat, but you're adding so much flavor.
Yeah,
so it's a must do.
I think a lot of people are gun shy about steaming, and they don't realize how great it can be, how simple it is.
Oh God, it's a wonderful technique. And regardless that the fact that it's really healthy, it's a great way to keep certain meats and proteins and fish moist. It's great for vegetables too, but again, you need flavor. So make sure there's garlic and ginger, or soy, or sesame oil. You can't just if you steam broccoli and that's all you're doing, it's going to taste like mushy broccoli. So you need to do better than that. But by adding flavor and seasoning, it can be delicious.
It can be fabulous. You know, let's talk about making soup in a wok. How do you like to do that?
Well, by the way, for those that don't own a wok, you can absolutely do all the wok dishes in a large saute pan as long as the volume of the pan is big enough. But if you do have a wok or have the hankering, we'll definitely get a good flat bottom wok because no one has a stove at home that's big enough BTU wise, enough heat for the round one. The round ones are great for restaurants.
Right.
A flat bottom is just better for a home cook. But because of its shape again, to make a classic soup, you usually saute all your aromatics. It could be garlic, onions, ginger, whatever. If there's meat in the soup, you would saute that. You would then usually deglaze with a wine or a Shaoxing or some type of alcohol if you
and
like
Shaoxing
alcohol.
Shaoxing is Chinese rice wine, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. It tastes kind of like sherry. And then you add your stock. And then you bring it to a simmer and you let it simmer. And again, because the top of the wok has great surface area, it can reduce quickly for you.
Right. Yeah, and you cook much faster. And I think the thing, too, is you can make minestrone. It doesn't have to be an Asian recipe.
Right.
You do a one-pot spaghetti or pasta and meatballs with an Asian touch. Talk about how you do that.
My take on East-West cuisine is really getting as much flavor into the protein or into what you're making.
Right,
and
right.
I kind of just took the classic meatball. And instead of, you know, of course, there's different schools of thought, but it's either veal pork or veal pork beef or whatever school you may be from. I use ground chicken. But
that's super lean.
It is, but you get to add fat because I have olive oil that has tons of onions. And onions, of course, has flavor and moisture
right.
with garlic. Right. And I use panko as a breadcrumb because you need something in a meatball to make it light. You can't just have 100% meat. And I always recommend use dark chicken, which has so much more flavor than of course, chicken breast, white chicken. And by the way, there's new research now through something called angiogenesis that actually dark chicken is better for you than white chicken, which I'm elated, as all my chef friends are, to hear about that. Dark chicken, as long as it's cooked just right, is incredibly moist and flavorful. It does not have to be dry.
Sounds great. Hey, Ming, thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Ming Tsai's book is Simply Ming, One Pot Meals. Now, if you want to try pork kimchi with noodles, the recipe's on the website, splendidtable.org.